For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Don't miss out on your chance to listen to four-time Super Bowl champ Charlie Weiss on the only podcast solely devoted to everyone's favorite position in football, the quarterback. Listen for free now by subscribing wherever you get podcasts or by going to celebrityqb.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. I'm your host, Dwayne Callender. So I have a special episode lined up here as I will be live drafting during the podcast for my Fantasy Hockey League. Now, I know most of you will not care about this at all, but I'm just curious that for those of you willing to listen to this as it goes along, to hear just some of the insights as they're going along for the hockey season, I figure it'd be a good idea. So I'm drafting out of the 12th spot, so I'm not going to get any of the top forwards that you would see, like Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, Ovi, definitely not getting him. So this is going to be where it kind of comes down to Austin Matthews, Patrick Kane. None of those guys are probably falling to me. I'm basically going to be drafting goalie here. We'll probably go with Carey Price or Braden Holtby, just to build out the back end of the roster, because for fantasy hockey, you're looking for a balance of your offensive players as well as your goaltenders, because it's basically the setup is similar to baseball, where you got your hitting and your pitching. So for hockey, it comes down to your goals, assists, your power play points, shots on a goal. And then on the other side of the bracket, you got all the goalie characteristics. So goals allowed, goals against average, saves, save percentage, shutout, so all that good stuff. So basically what we've got going on here is first three picks, McDavid, Crosby, Kane, no surprises here. But for the most part, it's got to be along the lines of what I'm expecting. So thought process going into a draft such as this, basically for fantasy hockey purposes, the overall dynamic that you're going to be looking for is essentially you're going to try to balance out your roster, because one of the things that comes up with hockey is just the fact that the center position tends to be pretty deep, unless you're the Rangers, and of course you don't have a number one center, but that's a whole nother story. But so in terms of offense, I mean, you're going to be looking at teams that even aren't good teams. So you'll look at the Winnipegs of the world, and even some of the Boston teams, even if they're going to be flawed, you would take them just because you're going to get offense from your wing positions, which is something that's actually going to be in short supply for most of the year, because I mean, with some of the growth in the center position in the last few years with McDavid and Austin Matthews, you're getting some younger centers coming up, Mitch Marner, Panarin got traded over to the Blue Jackets, so you're going to see a bit of a spread of risk. So, all right, so we've had the seventh pick, so Carey Price went off the board, so that's lining me up where may actually get a decent winger out of this. Nope. There goes Malkin. See, that's what I get for speaking too soon. Yeah, technically Malkin qualifies as a winger as well from his time with Ovechkin. I mean, from Crosby, but Tarasenko's still on the board. Jamie Benn's on the board. Sagan's on the board. Might be able to get a little greedy here. Let's see. Thrilling television podcasting when you're waiting for the picks to come off the board. Ben's off the board.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so Tarasenko just went off the board. So first pick, gonna go with Holtby, and just thinking, because Sagan qualifies as a center and a right winger, I'll probably grab Sagan for my second pick. So. So, but basically, a couple other players I passed up on that I'm not necessarily going to get a shot at. I like Artemi Panarin. The only problem is Panarin is playing in Columbus. And getting traded from the Blackhawks to the Blue Jackets is about as much of a step down as possible. Because essentially what's going to happen is John Tortorella, the coach of the Blue Jackets, is going to punish Panarin at some point in the season for whatever BS reason he wants to come up with, whether he wants to say lack of hustle, not enough grit. You know, sooner or later, Panarin's gonna get in Torts' doghouse because that's how Torts operates. He operates with that iron fist mentality of burying young players. So that's why I have to avoid Panarin as much as I like him. I'm gonna be hoping somebody else picks him up in the meantime. So on the back end, guys, I'm going to be looking on the left wing side. You got Philip Forsberg, Mike Hoffman on Ottawa. Not necessarily one I would go for. I know he's up on some draft boards, but I'll look at Max Pacioretty on the Canadiens just because you're going to get good volume of shots, even if you're not going to get the goals as much. And Matthew Tkachuk on the Flames in the next round, depending on how some of these picks go. Obviously, you're going to have some other guys probably go off the board sooner, like Johnny Gaudreau. In the meantime, you're definitely going to see a couple of these other names that go off, like John Tavares and some of the other names like Eric Carlson, Draisaitl, Patrick Laine. There goes Tavares, Carlson, and Draisaitl, and Victor Hedman just went. Laine is probably next. There goes Marchand, who I will never pick. Brad Marchand on Bruins, I could not root for in any circumstance, so it's probably better served that little bum goes off somewhere else. Just to annoy. Oh, God. Him and his parrot nose. So, in other news that I did not get around to talking about, Dwayne Wade got bought out by the Chicago Bulls. So, in the midst of that buyout, of course, the speculation was he was going to join up with LeBron, which he absolutely did. I mean, there was nothing surprising about that. In terms of the NBA front, the Cavs were already the number two team. In my book, based off of the moves that they made with bringing in Isaiah Thomas, I just think that's a move that's going to be helping them come playoff time, even though IT is a defensive liability. So was Kyrie. IT can still score. Kyrie was not motivated. So they the Cavs got the best haul they could. And Wade gives LeBron a bit of more protection on the defensive front just to cover himself so he doesn't expend as much energy in the playoffs. So, I like the move. Wade's not going to have the outside shooting, obviously, but D-Wade can create his own offense. And, anyone who can create offense on the Cavs, it's a plus for them because, I mean, they were going in stretches where people were legitimately saying that they were looking for Matthew Dellavedova to be back on that roster, which is utterly insane. But the fact that they were so weak on the back end with getting protection there, that's what you ended up kind of going down with, is the fact that it was a pretty weak squad in terms of depth on the Cavs in terms of that backcourt. So now that you bring in D-Wade, you don't have to rely as much on J.R. Smith. So from that standpoint, it kind of works out. Let's see on a couple of these other picks. Guys, I was looking at. So Stamkos goes to the third round. Not that surprising. So let's see. Backstrom, Cam Talbot. Yep, nothing too eye-raising going on here from a draft standpoint. So, I mean, basically the offensive defensemen are pretty much off the board. I mean, the only exception being you got Josi and Subban still there for the most part, they, at least from my standpoint, I'm not too gung-ho over going too crazy on my defensemen. Just from the standpoint of you can still get some good protection from defensemen in later rounds. I'd rather focus on getting my wingers set up and bolstering the front line. So, while I am still waiting, 8 more picks to go. Jeez, this is taking a little while longer than I thought with some of these picks. The surprise so far has been the Redskins moving the ball on the Chiefs at will. But, you know, I still say that, you know, this is still probably going to be end up being a trap game for the Chiefs just because everyone's hyping them up because they're the last undefeated team remaining. So they're going to need to get a little bit of time to settle in, but that's actually a really good start for the Redskins because the one thing that I see with Washington is that they have an overall tendency to fall apart early if they don't get any kind of good momentum going early. So one thing you always want to try to manage, at least from a standpoint of offensive efficiency, is just to get a couple of guys that actually can get on the same page. The one thing that I don't see from the Redskins so far is the establishment of a number one wide receiver that gets them out of trouble. Technically, their number one wide receiver is Jordan Reed, who still looks like he is laboring with the toe injury. So, yeah, that's not necessarily the biggest highlight. Oh, and there goes Pacioretty, along with Panarin and Pavelski. So, it's rosters are filling up pretty much in line. So, still got a shout out a couple of the guys I was looking at to begin with. So, and Gaudreau just goes. So, so, going with Forsberg and Blake Wheeler. All right, so now that I got that out of the way, couple other items I wanted to tackle for the most part that did not get around to this weekend is just kind of recapping the fantasy day last week compared to this week because, you know, once again, you're getting a lot of deviation from the fantasy world and, you know, it's getting a little tiresome because it's kind of hard to make those predictions of how each week's going to go when, you know, the biggest item that I've seen thus far in the league is just how much guys can vary week to week. I mean, last week we had a monster game from you had Larry Fitz just going off because the Cowboys would not cover Arizona's wide receivers. I mean, they had all day to move around. I mean, so I'm still surprised that Jared Goff put up the numbers he did, but you know, it's a bit surprising. I'll be honest with the amount of things going on with the NFL. You know, you're getting a lot of variance week to week. So basically last week, you know, you had Tom Brady at the top of the QB charts, as well as regular fantasy. This week, you got Deshaun Watson. And, I mean, anyone who picked Deshaun Watson to be the number one fantasy QB is absolutely lying. I mean, there's no one who actually picked him. I mean, yes, you'll have guys who threw in Watson for fantasy DFS lineups because, they wanted to stack a Watson and Hopkins and hope for the best by going with a cheap pairing. But, you know, in terms of an actual legitimate fantasy lineup, you're not playing Deshaun Watson unless you're absolutely desperate or you have Jay Cutler. If you have Jay Cutler, you have my condolences because I also play Jay Cutler in the league. But, you know, it's another example of you don't know week to week what to expect out of the league. Because I'll tell you the top 10 fantasy QBs for week 4 and see if there are a couple of names that raise some eyebrows. Number 1, Deshaun Watson. With over 33 points. Number 2, Cam Newton, who has not been able to throw the ball properly all season long, with 33 points. Number 3, Andy Dalton, over 28 points. Number 4, Eli. Yeah, the Giants' pass protection was somewhat better this week. Not that, you know, they got much better. It's just the fact that they actually changed the play calling, so Eli got the ball out faster. Number 5, Jameis Winston, torching the Giants secondary, which blew multiple pass assignments. Number 6, Russell Wilson. At least Russ had a big week last week to make some sense. Number 7, Aaron Rodgers. So we're getting a little bit back towards the median with 23 points. Number 8, Dak, with just over 22 points. Number 9, Tom Terrific, with just over 20 points. And number 10, Philip Rivers, just under 20 points. And Philip Rivers is another interesting case because there was literally a sequence where Philip Rivers, on a fourth down, had, I want to say, a complete nervous breakdown. But it was pretty damn near close. It's a fourth down play. The Chargers are at midfield. They're going for it. Rivers doesn't like the setup that they're in for the play call. He's begging the sidelines to call a timeout. No one's calling a timeout. He's screaming at them to call a timeout. And then when no one calls a timeout, he literally walks off the field. And you know, he's screaming into his headset. He's screaming it. I mean, it's absolutely nuts because, honestly, if there was any other QB that did that, I mean, if Cam Newton did that, I mean, if Roethlisberger did, it's like, Phil Rivers is one of the few guys in the league who, because he just seems to be that kind of crazy on the edge dude, that he can seem to get away with just absolute mind-blowing behavior against. You basically showed up the entire coaching staff with that little outburst. But even with all that nonsense, you'd still take Philip Rivers in a heartbeat over what you've got with Jay Cutler. Because, I mean, Jay Cutler and not giving a damn are synonymous with each other. But Jay Cutler yesterday was something truly special with how little he actually cares about his job these days. Because, for Dolphin fans, you know, this has got to be, like, soul-crushing. Because, you know, almost anyone can run that offense with Adam Gase as a coordinator. I mean, Matt Moore looked good running that offense. I mean, this is not that complicated of an offense to run if you have a modicum of patience and effort being given, which Jay Cutler does not possess at all. Because there's literally a sequence where it's a second down and goal. It's empty backfield, and he throws the fade route. Now, the issue with throwing a fade route with an empty backfield is the simple fact that the corner knows there's no one in the backfield. So if there's no one in the backfield, there's no one, no reason for the corner to actually look in the backfield. So he's going to be expecting a quick fade pass or a quick out. So he's going to be anticipating it. Throwing the fade doesn't actually... Oh, my God. Watch it. The Redskins just try to do a QB bootleg play on third down and goal. And, I mean, you know, unless Cousins just missed the read and was supposed to hand the ball off to Rob Kelly, I mean, the running play wasn't going to go anywhere, but... Cousins just like tried to do a spin move. Ooh, that looked ugly. We'll see if they kick the field goal, but yeah, going back to my point with the Dolphins play calling, the only reason why you would actually call the fade route is from the standpoint of, you know, you get at least a little bit of a balance with having a running back in the backfield, so the corners can't cheat. But, you know, outside of that, you should not be throwing a fade route and just being that careless with the football. It's just a waste of a play because, at the end of the day, you still have to be able to move the chains. And, you know, when you're trying to get in the end zone, you're looking for a hitter play. Either you do an inside or inside run, or you're trying to at least post the guy up to get in the end zone. But when you throw the fade, it's such a low percentage throw because the QB has to throw over the top of the defender at a high point where his receiver can jump for the ball. But it's such a low chance of actually getting a play in that, you know, it's just a waste. So now, obviously, I'm back up again. So this is the 60th pick in the draft. So I'm looking at Jeff Carter on the Kings to get another center in there. And I'm thinking about Saad here as my left wing. Alrighty. Got another break coming up here. So, yeah, basically in terms of absolutely awful QB play, you got three candidates. And, you know, obviously none of them were any good. But this is just habitual craptitude or crappiness or whatever word you want to use. So, number three, you got Joe Flacco. So far, the Ravens have only beaten the Browns and the Bengals. Last week, I mean, you know, last week, Joe Flacco had 28 yards of offense. 28 yards against the Jags, which meant he lost to the Blake Bortles experience, which is almost inexcusable just because of how bad Blake Bortles is. But that's how bad Flacco was last Sunday. This week, against a rivalry game with the Steelers, Flacco, again, completely inaccurate, can't get out of his own way, and just generally after the game just said how much he sucked. And, you know, for if you're a Ravens fan, the biggest issue that, you know, I see with this team is the fact that, you know, Flacco is paid as a top five QB when he's basically been a top 15 QB his entire career, with the one stretch run in the playoffs where he actually played like a top six QB and got lucky that the Broncos misplayed a badly thrown football that was a duck and a prayer, and, you know, they got a completion out of it. I mean, literally, that's Joe Flacco's legacy. A misplay by the Broncos in the secondary. Meanwhile, you got Jay Cutler, who I already got into with for the fade pass and the lack of decision, lack of actual proper decision making. The issue that also comes up here is the fact that Jay Cutler, for all intents and purposes, does not care about his job. But it's not that he just doesn't care about his job. It's the fact that he actually makes it known that he doesn't care about his job. There is literally one sequence where, and it's going to be all on the highlight shows, I'm sure, is the fact that they're running a wildcat play. Now, yes, is the quarterback going to get a pass catch on a wildcat play? Most likely not. But you actually have to make the semblance that you're going out for a pass route just to keep them honest. Jay Cutler, meanwhile, decides he's too good for that and just decides to keep his hands on his hips and just wait it out. Like, you'd swear that, and like, he did not actually have to do anything. I mean, you know, I couldn't believe it when I saw the play, because he's literally just standing there with his hands on his hips wondering, can't wait for this play to get hyped. And it was like, you know, it's just a total turnoff. And, you know, the meme for Jay Cutler was smoking Jay Cutler, because every single time that he's up, you see him in the picture, you can just put a cigarette in his mouth and you just be smoking away because he doesn't give a damn. But, like, the hipster that he is, he just has that punchable face where you just can't believe he's making that much money and looks that disinterested in the work that he's doing. I mean, if the Dolphins only offered him $5 million instead of $10 million, I still think he takes the studio job of Fox, because I just think the extra cash he was going to get, he figured it was probably best for him, even if he does get injured, that he gets the extra couple mil. Because he's definitely not seeing that money with Fox. I can't wait to hear his tryout with Fox, just to see how much he actually cares about doing prep work before a game as a color analyst. I mean, it'd be fascinating. Because I'm pretty sure he'd probably be one of the worst color analysts in football. But, you know, Fox is willing to pay him that money. And last but not least, in terms of bad quarterback play from the weekend, you got the Blake Bortles experience. During the game yesterday, there were no less than 5 batted balls by the Jets. Mind you, Blake Bortles is 6'5". 6'5". It's damn near impossible to get your balls batted as much as Blake Bortles does. Yeah, he manages to get this done on a consistent basis. He's had, since the start of the season, when he entered the league 3 years ago, I had to look this number up because I was pretty sure the number was over 50, but it was still even worse than I thought. So coming into this season, he had 56 balls batted at the line of scrimmage, which was, by comparison, 15 more than any other quarterback. This year, he's already over 14 batted balls. And we've barely gotten past four. We've gotten four games into the season. It's really hard to get that many balls batted down when you're that tall. And just for the folks that had also mentioned how inconsistent his receiving core is, because the Jags receivers do drop a lot of balls. There's no doubt about that. But the fact is, Blake Bortles has thrown over 50 interceptions in his career, including having that many batted balls, which means that technically his career interception numbers should actually be higher, except for the fact that he is so bad at throwing the football past the line of scrimmage. That's why his interception numbers are down. I mean, yesterday there was a play where Kony Ealy of the Jets batted the ball up in the air and picked it off because it was that poorly thrown where he literally threw it right at Kony Ealy's face. So he didn't even have to get his hands up. He just threw his hands up to protect his face, but that's really all he had to do to pick the ball off. So, and, you know, the brilliance of this is with the Jags is that they knew he was this bad. But, you know, they were just hoping that, you know, he wouldn't suck as much. Because, honestly, his backup, Chad Henne, led the league in batted balls back in 2013, which is his last full year as a starter. So, you know, it's not like you're going to get that much better. But, you know, it's the dynamic that drives me nuts with the NFL is just the acceptance of really crappy quarterback play. And it goes back to where I still think you need a spring training for quarterbacks. I still think Blake Bortles would suck anyway, but at least it would give some reps to guys that knowingly, you know, are going to be bad or just struggle to maintain any level of consistency. So that's what I got going on. I'll get into the Giants and a couple of the other teams in a bit. I got a couple of picks coming up here next for the fantasy draft. But, you know, one of the things that just absolutely drives me nuts is just how bad the quarterback play has been in the NFL this season. Because the NFL should not be this bad in terms of consistency. It's really not an excuse, in my opinion. Because, you know, there are too many teams that have quarterbacks that could be better than what they are right now, and they're not taking the steps to make any revisions to it because, you know, they pay the money to these guys and they don't want to admit that they're wrong. But, you know, at a certain point, it's just it just becomes unacceptable. It's like these guys are literally just allowing teams to just stockpile these crappy quarterbacks who can't throw the football. And unless you put in some incentive for teams to actually rehabilitate their quarterbacks and not throw out retreads, the NFL quarterback play is not going to be improving anytime soon. All right, so it's about time I actually started looking at picking up some defensemen. So, just picked up Klefbom from the Oilers as defense, and picked up Matthew Tkachuk as my second left winger. All right, so I'm going to take a little bit of a break from the podcast here. So, there will be another section of the podcast coming up with kind of recapping the rest of the hockey draft and where I kind of went with some of the picks. Also, I'll start recapping the rest of the football week that was in the NFL because, you know, I got to rant on the Giants some more. Just, it'll be cathartic for me, to say the least. The Jets are somehow 2-2, mainly because of the incompetence of other teams, but we're gonna get into some of the nonsense that happened with the Jags yesterday, giving away that game. And the Patriots issues are getting pretty pronounced, the fact that the Patriots cannot seem to figure out how to cover anyone. So we got more coming up on tap, and you know, we'll get into the baseball as well, and we'll do another show recapping, doing a little bit of a preview with a little, hopefully we'll get a little roundtable discussion tomorrow ahead of the wild card game. So that's all for now.
It's the most talked about position in all of sports, the quarterback. And now there's a show solely dedicated to the most sought after role on the field, Celebrity QB, featuring four-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks. Like, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Will dating Danica Patrick distract Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's dating Danica Patrick, Charlie. We're interested in that, you know?
Well, I mean, Tommy's got Giselle. I'll take Giselle, okay?
Is Dak Prescott good enough to win a Super Bowl for the Cowboys? Which rookie quarterback has the best shot of making a positive impact in 2018?
How about intellectually, Charlie, as far as what they ask the quarterbacks to do now?
The game has changed, but the pressure that's put on quarterbacks, and it's always been put on quarterbacks, is tremendous.
Join Charlie Weiss and co-host Steve Stroud on an all-new podcast from Lasting Media, exclusively about quarterbacks. Subscribe now at Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to great podcasts. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.